Gracious Heavenly Father, as we go into your word this morning, we ask that you give us eyes and ears open to hear your word, your wisdom, your love, and your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm first going to go to a story that they alluded to in the song. This is Greater Vision that sang this morning. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 16, and we're going to read 16 through 34. And I'm going to read from the Clear Word Bible because I think it gives a nice ring to this story. Acts 16, verses 16 through 34. One day, while we were going through the city to a place of prayer by the river, a slave girl who had an evil spirit met us. She would chant, give a shrill cry like the pagan priestesses at Delphi, and then predict the future. Her owners were getting rich from her fortune-telling. She began to follow us, and everywhere we went, she shouted to the people, "These men are the servants of the Most High One, who are showing you the way to be saved." She did this day after day, and soon the people began to think of Paul as a servant of one of their gods, not a servant of the God of heaven. One day, as the girl was following us and shouting about the God of heaven, Paul turned and stopped her, and he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, evil spirit, to come out of her." Instantly, the demons left her. She was totally free from the evil spirit, and she became a believer. When her owner saw what had happened and realized that their hope of making money through her was gone, they grabbed Paul and Silas and took them to the Roman magistrates in the marketplace. There they accused them of disturbing the peace, saying, "These men are Jews and are causing all kind of trouble in our city. They're trying to convert people to Judaism by teaching them things which we as Roman citizens are forbidden by law to accept or to practice." Soon a crowd gathered, and when they heard the accusations against Paul and Silas, they also joined in accusing them. Then the magistrates ordered Paul and Silas to be stripped to the waist and beaten with rods in the town square as the people stood by and watched. After they were beaten, the magistrates ordered them to be thrown in prison and told the warden to watch them carefully until morning. Determined to do a good job, the warden did more than he was asked to do and ordered the guards to take Paul and Silas to the maximum security section, had them sit down and clamp their ankles between heavy blocks of wood that would hold their feet. That night, Paul and Silas praised the Lord that they had been found worthy to suffer for him because of the gospel. They prayed and sang and shared the good news of salvation with the rest of the prisoners. About midnight, the earth began to shake as a violent earthquake hit the whole area. The prisoners' foundations shook, doors flew open, and the chains fell off of every prisoner. The warden woke up and saw the prison doors open and thought that the inmates had escaped. He pulled out his sword and was ready to kill himself rather than to be publicly executed for losing his prisoners. When Paul heard him draw the sword, he shouted, "Don't kill yourself. We're still here. No one escaped." The warden could not believe his ears. He called for a torch, rushed into the security block, and stood there in unbelief as he realized that all the prisoners were still there. He had heard what the slave girl had said about Paul and Silas being servants of the Most High One. So he fell down on his knees in front of them and begged them to forgive him for treating them so harshly. Then he let them out of the security block, saying, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and so will those in your household who also believe." At the warden's house, they shared the story of Jesus with him and everyone there. After the warden had washed their wounds and everyone had listened to the story of Jesus, they went with Paul and Silas to a pool in the prison courtyard and were baptized. Then the warden took Paul and Silas back to his house and fed them, and the whole family rejoiced over this newfound faith. Our scripture in this morning was in Hebrews chapter 13, 5b, 20 and 21, and I'm going to read it again. "I will never leave you nor forsake you. May the God of peace, who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep who died for us and sealed the eternal covenant by his own blood, equip you with everything you need to do his will. May he help you do what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. There was a missionary in the 19th century to Africa named David Livingstone. I don't know about you, but when I was little, that was one of the books we were required to read in school. And he had many journals that he wrote while he was a missionary. And in one of his journals, he wrote one night, "In the heart of the continent, I am alone and in hostile territory. I can hear lions roaring and tribal wars threatening all around me. I have the word, though, of a gentleman, and I have peace, because he has promised me I will go with you wherever you go." David Livingstone, as well as countless others of God's children, have experienced the truth that God will carry us through our difficulties and take care of all of our needs. Many years after the great missionary and explorer took the gospel to the continent of Africa, another man and his wife, Joe and Patsy Budd, were asked to serve in Africa. Joe was to oversee the construction of churches, clinics, offices, and other buildings needed in the areas where the growth of Christianity was exploding. Patsy was asked to work in church administration in the country of Tanzania. Now, they were 10,000 miles away from home, in the heart of Africa, in a very different culture. They worked there for 17 years. It was very, very different from where they had come from in the state of Wisconsin. It was challenging and rigorous. Patsy kept her job in Arusha, Tanzania, while Joe's construction sites were often great distances away. It was not unusual for them to be separated for months at a time. The weather was oppressively hot and humid, but Joe doggedly toiled through his days with his workers. His home on the job was usually a small room that was not air-conditioned and usually didn't even have a ceiling fan. At night, he would sometimes ask the Lord, "Please send me a cool breeze." It was lonely work, but he was beginning to learn some of the words in his new tongue. But many of the workers were not Christians and did not share his beliefs or his values or even his language. But in his tiny, stuffy room, Joe read his Bible every morning and every evening, and he sang. The words of the songs often seemed to be God's special communication with his tired, lonely, to this tired, lonely, and faithful servant. Patsy was sometimes several days' journey away. It may have only been a few hundred miles, but in his little room, with only the sound of braying donkeys and the constant night noises, it might have been a million miles. There was a hymn that he especially loved that was written by Fanny Crosby in 1875, and he sang it often because it brought him such comfort. Music is a gift from God. When we sing, there is a hormone that is released that is called dopamine that makes us happy. But when we actually sing in a group, there's another hormone called oxytocin that is released that brings us closer together. So this morning we're going to sing Joe's favorite hymn. If you'll turn in your hymn books to 516, "All the Way My Savior Leads Me." 516. Been my guide.
rushing from the rock before me. Low a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me. Oh, the fullness of His love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When I wake to life immortal, wing my flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Somehow, through the words of Scripture, Joe's prayer time, and especially through singing of hymns of faith, his energy was renewed for each day. While singing to the Lord, he became lifted up above his surroundings, and this daily routine he called his survival music. In Botswana, he built an outpatient clinic, which consisted of a metal frame structure with block walls. It was built using the metric system, which was another adjustment for Joe. Usually all building materials came from South Africa, but the construction labor were done by local people. His greatest stress came from trying to supervise all the jobs being done at once. Masonry, carpentry, plumbing, wiring, roofing, and even painting, all simultaneously and by people who spoke different languages from him. How was he to be everywhere at once? So Joe needed to check very often for accuracy to make sure the job was done right. Each morning before work, though, Joe would gather everyone together for a short devotional time. He had a good translator, so Joe would lead them in singing a sacred song, read a Bible verse, give a little illustration of it, and then pray. The translator chose the songs because he knew the ones the crews could sing. They had no hymn books, but because of what had happened generations earlier, when David Livingston had been there and others since, many of the people had learned something about God. They also remembered some of the hymns of the Christian faith, though not a lot. Most of the workers did love to sing, though, and Joe was often surprised by the rich harmonies these impromptu choirs produced. One particular Friday morning was payday. This was kind of a challenge for Joe because they were paid in cash and then their own currency, which had to be calculated very carefully. Joe was feeling kind of discouraged, but God did something amazing. The men began singing a new song that Joe didn't know. It was written by Charles Wesley in 1941, but that morning, Joe felt like God had given those words to Wesley just for him. He listened as the men sang, and the translator sang to him in English these words. Listen as we hear hymn 486, I Do Believe.
My hand to thee, no other help I. Grace, I do believe I from sin to set me free.
Joe says that through this song, God provided help when his resources were not equal to the task. God provided help for my time of emergency with divine assistance from this song. As the men were singing, God impressed the words onto Joe's heart. He found himself singing with the men, "Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. I am here for you, and I do believe that you are right here with me." By singing those words and reminding himself that God, myself and God, that I do believe, something happened to Joe that morning. God touched him in a deep way, and he knew his every need would be met. Joe said he will never forget the special morning when God did not withdraw from him when he had nowhere else to go. That morning, the clouds of doubt parted, and he was renewed with strength and encouragement. Another interesting thing happened that day, too, because God was not only speaking to Joe's heart, but to the men singing. Those who were not Christians had been learning the songs, hearing God's word, and entering into the experience of prayer daily. Some of the men gave their hearts to Christ. Joe saw changes in the daily behavior on the work site. One morning, soon after singing a song called "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, I'll Be There," one of the men called out shouting, "When that roll is called up yonder, I will be there." He understood the song's message and had given his heart to the Lord. He changed his wrong ways and became a faithful church member, and others continued to follow his example. Joe has God's sweet assurance that he will carry him through any need, and so do you. He looks forward to the day in heaven when he sees his Christian brothers called in that role called up yonder. Rodney Griffin from the Greater Vision has another song he has written. We're going to listen to "You'll Carry Me Through."
My troubles were over. But I soon found that sorrow, heartache, and trouble still lingered though I was walking with you. I discovered what a comfort you were in those hard times. And now my faith is tested and true. So as I enter this valley, this old familiar valley, I've learned, Lord, just what you'll do.
You'll carry me. Shepherds do. This valley's no different than all those valleys that came and went.
I know you'll be true, like you promised you'd do.
You'll carry.
Through the storms without your help, Lord. From whom could I borrow the strength in my sorrow if my strength wasn't coming from you? So, Lord, I'll keep trusting, 'cause I know you'll be listening when this little lamb's calling you. And when danger is near, my cry you'll be hearing, and I've learned, Lord, just what you'll do.
You'll carry me. Like you always do, Lord. You'll hold me and hide me, like good shepherds do. This valley's no different than all those valleys that came.
I know you'll be true, like you promised you do.
You'll carry me through.
Lord, I know you'll be true, like you promised you do.
You'll carry me.
In Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, it says, "Always rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness and kindness be evident to all. Remember that the Lord is always near at hand, and one day he will come again. Don't worry so much about everything. When you pray, ask God for what you need. Don't be afraid to plead with him, but always do so with a grateful heart. God's peace, which surpasses all human comprehension, will guard your hearts and keep your minds on Jesus Christ." Our final hymn this morning is going to be hymn number 530, "It Is Well With My Soul." And before we sing it, I have a story that I think is so precious, and it made such an impact on my life. Music really makes an impact on people's lives. Brenda Walsh, who works for 3ABN with the Children's Department, tells a story of when her grandmother was passing away. She and her three sisters sing, and sure, her grandmother wanted to go to sleep hearing their voice. But she especially wanted her final song before she went to sleep to be "It Is Well With My Soul," so that when she woke up, that's what she would be singing when she saw the Savior. And her sisters ended up singing that probably about 10 times, because every time she thought it was near, she said, "I want to hear the song." But they did finally, as they got to sit with their grandmother, which she said was a precious time before she went to sleep, and they got to sing this song over and over. And she found out later that many people on the ward were asked to come out into the hallway so they could hear this song. So let us stand and have our final song, 530, "It Is Well With My Soul."
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, there
May the God of all peace carry you through, and may you truly learn to sing. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for coming and to being with us here this hour, helping us to feel your love in a new and mighty way. We ask, Lord, as we go from this place, that you be with everyone here and their families represented. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.